I guess the best way to illustrate what I'm going to say this morning is to tell you again a couple of stories that I've told you in the past. He's one of the finest men in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Not a spectacular man, but a steady, solid, good man. The kind of man that's made the First Baptist Church what it is. For over 20 years, he worked in the steel mills. The discomfort of one of the most unusual environments in America make you living. He did it for two or three reasons, not the least of which was he dreamed of the day his boy could go off to college, to a Christian college. He told me many times through the years, "Pastor, I'm saving everything I can. The wife and I are living in a very, very modest house. We're driving an old car. Because our dream is to see our boy have the privileges and advantages we did not have." They did without for 20 years. After the boy graduated from high school, I went down to the bus station, the old bus station down on State Street near State Line. And the man said to me, as he said, we waved goodbye to his son, he said, "This is the happiest day of my life. The day to which I've looked and the day for which I've planned and dreamed all these years." That boy went off, was gone September, October, November, about half of December. He came back home from a Christian college, calls itself a Christian college. He's too good for his mother. He's too good for his dad. Their grammar was not suitable to him now that he had taken grammar. He was looked down upon his parents. Wasn't interested in coming to First Baptist Church anymore, because First Baptist Church was an old-fashioned church. He now has some culture. He now has some refinement, whatever that is. And he looks down on the First Baptist Church. And the father said to me, "Brother Hiles, I don't know my boy anymore." He was a young man, one of the finest young men this church has ever produced. I'm not going to give you too much detail because I don't want you to know who this is. This young man had a talent that was incomparable for a teenage lad. Went off to a state university. Against my wishes, of course. Went off to a state university. And his dear mother and father, humble, sweet, godly people, didn't hear from him. They found out a little while later that he was living with a young lady down, young female down there in university, unmarried, living as husband and wife. His mother and father got brokenhearted. Listen to me now. They drove down to see him. Quit trying to guess who it is. You listen to what I'm... I want you to get the truth and not be an investigator this morning. The mother and father, humble, sweet, dedicated, godly people, went down to see... He wouldn't write them. They wanted to see how he was doing. The only way they could find him. He wouldn't accept their calls when they called. They drove to see him, the state university. He came to the door. And there was his godly mother and godly father. He looked at them and closed the door in their face. They said to me, "We don't know our boy anymore." That's exactly what God is saying to his people in the verse that I read a while ago. "I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. I did know you." God called his people. They refused to return. God withdraws himself from his people. Then he said, "I cannot do that. I cannot withdraw myself. I have loved you and I've nurtured you and I've cared for you." And he said, "How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim, or O Israel?" And then he says this statement, one of the saddest statements, I think. And I want to say this before I go any further. I don't know of anything worse than a snob. I just don't know of anything worse than a snob. I don't know of anything worse than one lump of clay thinking that he or she is better than some other lump of clay. Understand that. But... God said to Israel, he said, "I knew you in the wilderness. I don't know you anymore. I knew you when you had no food to eat and you had to cry to me to feed you with manna from heaven. I knew you then. I don't know you anymore. I knew you when you had no water to drink and I gave you the rock in Horeb and told Moses to smite that rock. And after that, to speak to that rock and out flowed enough water gushing from that rock to take care of your needs for water for 40 years in the wilderness. And that rock followed you everywhere you went. I knew you then, but I don't know you anymore. I knew you when you didn't have new clothes to wear. I knew you when you had one garment and you're on your way to the land of promise and for 40 years wandered in the wilderness and you begged me to help you. And I caused your clothes to stay in good shape for 40 years. And I caused the clothes to grow when you grew. And I caused your shoes to grow as your feet grew. You knew me then. I knew you in the wilderness. I don't know you now. I knew you when you had no houses to live in. I knew you when you lived in tents. I knew you when you were poor. I knew you when you were destitute. I knew you when you had to have me or starve. I knew you when you had to have me or die. I knew you then. But I don't know you anymore. I don't know you now that you're in Canaan. I don't know you now that you have your own houses. I don't know you now that you live in a land that flows with milk and honey. I don't know you now that you have farms. I don't know you now that you have your own businesses. God said, you're not like you used to be. I used to know you. I used to know you when you're poor. God comes today, and God says to many people in this room, right here, now, God says, I don't know you anymore. I knew you during the Depression. I knew you when you had to pray for the next meal, but I don't know you anymore. I knew you when you didn't have good clothes to wear and you had to beg for a coat and get a hand-me-down coat. I knew you then. When you had to have me or die, I don't know you anymore. God said, what's happened to you, Israel? I used to know you. I used to know what you were like. But all of a sudden, I don't know you anymore. I knew you. He says to us when you were in college, I knew you when you lived in that little attic apartment. I knew you when you had to hitchhike to school. I've watched some of these doctors go through college here in our church. I've watched them and go through medical school. I've watched them as they sacrificed and did without. And I thank God that they're still good, solid, humble men. But God says to these, I knew you while you were in college. I knew you while you were having to tough it. I knew you when your wife had to wear hand-me-down clothes and your children hardly got to see you and you cried and begged me to provide you food and beg me to find you a place to work and beg me to find you a part-time job and you beg me to find you a decent house to live in and you beg me to clothe you. God said, I knew you then. Well, the tragic things of the Christian life, God says, I don't know you anymore. I don't know you now that you have cars and houses. I don't know you now that you have carpet on your floor. I don't know you now that you have a nice family room. I don't know you now that you have your color television set. I don't know you. Something has happened to you. I don't know you. You're not the same as used to be. God said, I knew you in seminary. I knew you in Bible college. I knew you when you begged for God to give you a place to live. I knew you when you got on your knees and begged God to give you a job. I knew you in those days. I knew you, God said, when you had a hard time making ends meet. And I knew you when you couldn't stay awake in class because you didn't get but 2 or 3 hours sleep. God said, in those days, you needed me. And you called on me. And you begged me for strength. And you begged me for food. And you begged me for money. And you begged me for a place to live. I knew you in those days. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be a big preacher. I want God to know me. Please forgive me for saying this, but I want to be the same old Jack I was in college. I want God to know me. I want to be the same fella I was. And my mama and I like to starve to death, and my mama prayed food down. I want to be the same I was. I want God to know me. I want to be the same I was, Mrs. Hiles and I got off a bus in Fayetteville, North Carolina, just a week after we got married. I was a paratrooper. We had $29 is all we had in our pocket. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. We landed there at the train station. I'm sorry. It's a train instead of a bus. Train station in Fayetteville, North Carolina. $29. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. We had had $200 we'd borrowed for our marriage. It's all we had in the world, $200. And it dawned on me. We hadn't tithed off that $200. And we in that train station in Fayetteville, North Carolina, put a $20 bill in an envelope at 1 o'clock in the morning, a couple of kids. And we put that $20 bill
in an envelope and sent it to the Hillcrest Baptist Church and walked out of that train station with $9 in our pocket and not a room to sleep in that very night. Picked up the newspaper in the train station and found a place that had rooms for rent. And for 3 months we didn't get one single dime, not one dime. And we had $9. That's all we had. And we had to beg God and plead with God. I don't want God to look down and say, I knew you then, but I don't know you now. I want God to look down and say, you're the same old Jack you were back yonder 44 years ago nearly when you got off the train in Fayetteville, North Carolina. God says, I knew you. I knew you when you had that first little place to live. Wish you could have seen the first place we lived. If you college students could see the first place we lived, you'd go home and rejoice about what you have. We had one little room, 6 by 12. We shared a kitchen with... There are 8 other rooms in that little apartment house. 8 other rooms. Each room, 6 by 12. Had one kitchen. We all 9 of us, all 9 couples, shared the one kitchen. Had 2 bathrooms. All 9 couples shared the 2 bathrooms. I mean, brother, if a flu epidemic went through that... But anyway, I'm saying we had to beg God. We didn't have anything. Ms. Howes is standing in line, waiting in line, 5th or 6th or 7th or 8th or 9th in line to get to cook a meal, waiting for the stove, one stove for 9 couples. I stood in line, males and females, waiting to get to use one of the bathrooms. And God said, I knew you then. You needed me. I want God to know me just like He knew me then. I want God to look down and say, He's the same old Jack that He was 40-some-odd years ago. God looks down today, this affluent, and we're not a rich church, but we're affluent. You know that. I mean, most of us, we have more than rich folks used to have 40 years ago. And God looks down and God says, I used to know you when you were in college. I knew you when you had it tough. I knew you then. I knew you when you had to have me. I knew you when you were hungry. I knew you when you were cold. I knew you when you were naked. I knew you when you were homeless. And God says, now you have your nice home and your air-conditioned house and your car that's air-conditioned and nice clothing. And God says, I don't know you anymore. You're not like you used to be. God, deliver me from affected people. God says, I don't know you anymore. I want to be the same fella God knew. I used to pastor a church 100 miles from where we lived in the college apartment. We'd drive up on Sunday morning early and drive back late on Sunday night, but we didn't have a battery that worked with the lights on. The battery worked okay and the generator worked okay with the lights off. Driving up is fine. Driving back is bad. I told Ms. Howell, stick your head out the window and just look to anything that might be in front of us. Had the lights off. 100 miles at night to drive. She had her head stuck out the window. And the old car is a fast car. It'd go 40 miles an hour downhill. And listen, no talking, please. And so I drive and she'd say, hey, there's a wagon in front of me. Hey, turn the lights on right quick and see the wagon. Listen, we almost killed 15 black people one night. We got she went to sleep with her head out the window. And we came up on the back, toward the back side of that big thing. Hey, turn the lights on, turn the lights on. And I twisted the car and a big old wagon of people almost went everywhere. And I'm saying that God looks back and God, I don't want God to say to me, I knew you back in those days. I knew you when you made $7.50 a week, but I don't know you now. I knew you when you had an old beat-up car and you couldn't turn the lights on unless you had somebody in front. I knew you then. I don't know you now. God looks down to you today and God says, I used to know you. I used to know you. God said, I knew you when you had to mow your own church members' yards for $1 a yard to make ends meet. I knew you when out here at this dire hospital, little Linda lay between life and death one morning, Monday morning, And we paced the floor and begged for God to keep her alive. God said, I knew you then. I knew you. My doctor said concerning your oldest daughter, Becky, when she was 2 years old, with double pneumonia back in the days before antibiotics. The doctor said, you've got to watch her all night long to see if her little hands turn blue. And call me quickly if her little hands turn blue. And sit there and watch those little fingernails all night long, praying for God to take care of her. God said, I knew you then. I want God to know me now. World's got enough big shots. World's got enough high-class people. God looks down to Israel and sees them dwelling in their own houses and says, I don't know you anymore. He looks down and sees them as they dwell, as they have their own farms, and I don't know you anymore. He looks down and sees them as they have changed their garments and says, I don't know you. I knew you in the wilderness. I knew you when you had to have manna from heaven. I knew you when you had to have water from the rock. I knew you when you had to have your clothes to stretch as your body stretched. I knew you. I don't know you anymore. I hunger and long for the days when you needed me. And I knew you. I knew you, he says, when you were in medical school. I knew you when you didn't have a lot of money. I knew you when you were in law school. I knew you before you made a lot of money in the law profession. I knew you in the seminary when you were just a country preacher, a little boy preacher. I used to know you, he said, but I don't know you anymore. I knew you in the apartment upstairs. I don't know you in the beautiful four-bedroom, three-bathroom house. I knew you, America, in the war. I knew you when your boys marched off to the war. I knew you when you placed your gold stars in the windows. I knew you when you wondered every day if your own son would be on the list of those killed in action. I knew you when you went off to the war and wondered if you'd ever come back home and see your family again. I knew you when you left your church that last Sunday morning and wondered if you'd ever walk back in the doors of that church again. I knew you when you kissed your wives goodbye and your sweethearts goodbye and left to fight for your country and defend freedom and defend your country. I knew you, but America, I don't know you now. I don't know you. Now that you've taken the Bible out of the public schools, I don't know you anymore, America. I don't know you. Now that you can't pray in the public schools, I don't know you anymore, America. I don't know this homosexual America. I don't know this liquor traffic America. I don't know this dope-laden America. I don't know this baby-killing America. I don't know you. I used to know you with old-fashioned churches on every street corner. I used to know you with old-fashioned preachers preach with their collars unbuttoned and with their lungs stretched to proclaim the message of grace. I knew you back in those days. I don't know you anymore. It's time we fell on our faces and humbled ourselves and fell in repentance and said, oh God, we're sorry. And God can look back and say, that's like it used to be. I don't know you. I knew you back in the Depression days, America. I knew you when the banks closed. I knew you when you lost every dime you had. I knew you when your home was repossessed. I knew you when you walked the streets looking for a job. I knew you when you stood in line to get a can of hash from the government. I knew you when you stood in the soup line. I knew you when you cried to me. I knew you. I don't know this affluent America. I don't know this America that complains because the color television set's broken. I don't know this America that has adultery on the screen that flashes at every home in the country. I don't know you anymore. I don't know this America has nudity on the television screen. Hollywood's gone to become Hollywood. I don't know that America anymore. I don't know the America that doesn't pay her debts. I don't know the America that doesn't have any character. I don't know the America that won't work for a living. I don't know that America. God comes today and says, I used to know you, America. I don't know you anymore. I knew you in the hospital. I knew you when he was hanging between life and death. I knew you when you paced the floor. I knew you when you watched every breath, wondering when another would come. I knew you when you saw him. I knew you.
I knew you when you turned your face toward the wall and said, "Oh, God, let him live." I knew you then. I don't know you now that you're healthy. I don't know you now that your family's healthy. I don't know you now that you have plenty of food in the refrigerator and food in the cupboard. I don't know you. Let me tell you something. You listen to me. Every single preacher in this room, you're no more something now than you were the day when you enrolled in Bible college for the first time. Let me tell you something, you lawyers. You're no more in the sight of God today than you were the day you enrolled in law school or pre-law school for the first time. And you doctors are no more than you were the day that you enrolled in medical school for the first time. And I'm no more than I was the day when I stood in that little country church in East Texas and pastored for my first Sunday and had seven people there and a wood stove right in front of the pulpit and yellow jackets coming out of that wood stove every Sunday morning. Miss Howes and I go up there and light the fire in that wood stove and chase the yellow jackets out. And then 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 people had come. And I'd stand there and preach, and the pianist over here could only play one song, and that was "The Old Rugged Cross." Everything we sang was the tune of "The Old Rugged Cross." And she played the piano bench more than she played the keys, and she lapped over either side of the bench. And I had not, listen, this two rows down here would have been our record attendance back in those days, but in the sight of God, I'm still just a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. I want to be old Jack. I thought about our daughter when they sang her song a while ago. It's Sunday. Something different in the air. It's Sunday. Becky wrote that song. I thought about her and prayed for her. She's placed today in her own church. And I remembered the little word she said one time to me. She said, "Daddy, down inside this 37-year-old body, there's still a little 2-year-old white, golden-haired girl that worships her daddy. And down inside this 62-year-old body, there's still a little ghetto-bound boy that loves God with all of his heart. I don't want to lose him. I don't want to lose him. I don't want to be Dr. Jack Hiles. I want to be Jackie Boy Hiles in the sight of God." Every morning I drive by my mother's house on the way to work. I always do it. Every day I drive down Wentworth Street, slow down to about 15, 20 miles an hour from the usual 65. Just want to see if you're out there. I drive my mother's house, and I look. The house is just the second house off the corner, big apartment house. I look at apartment 22. And I remember how when I got discouraged, I'd go to mother. And she'd sit there, and I'd put my head in her lap. And I often say, "I wish there were some place I could go and be Jack again." Well, thank God there is. Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the Savior's face. Find mercy to help you in the time of need. Find mercy to help you bear the precious seed. You listen to me today. Get down off your high horse. Get down off your pride. Get down off of your snobbishness. Get down off of it and get down in sackcloth and ashes and say, "Hallelujah, I'm God's child, just a sinner saved with the grace of Almighty God." I used to know you, God says. That's so sad. I used to know you. I knew you at the funeral, says God. I knew you when you reached out and felt that face. You never felt a corpse before, and you touched the brow of that loved one, that little boy that was drowned, that father who died suddenly with a heart attack, that son and daughter killed in a car wreck. For the first time in your life, reached out and touched the cold face of a corpse. I'll never forget the first one I touched, my own daddy. Reached down and touched his face and realized all of a sudden it was like touching a piece of stone. God said, "I knew you then. I knew you when you stood there and put your head on your loved one's shoulders and cried and begged me for strength. I knew you then. I knew you as you walked to the silent city of the dead and laid to rest the dearest of life. I knew you then. I knew you when you went home that night and saw the empty place beside you in the bed, or the empty place across from you at the table. I knew you then, but I don't know you now."
You know what you need to do? You need to get on your knees before God. I don't care if you got $10 million stashed away. I don't care if you got more degrees after your name than the thermometer has. I don't care. I don't care if you're the prettiest piece of flesh in this room or the handsomest hunk of man in this room. What you need to do is get on your face before your God and say, God, remember me. I'm still the same as I always was. One of the sweetest things that's happened to me in a long time happened this morning. Two of our bus kids, a family of our people, bus people, were driving to Mexico and they came to Laredo, Texas. They had a car accident. And I think five of them had to go to the hospital. Two of them were our own bus people. How old were they? Anybody know the two? 14 and 15. Thank you, Brother John. One of the bus driver of those kids called the hospital. And the nurse answered the phone in Laredo, Texas. And she said, we've had so many calls for those people. She said, they must be important. First Baptist Church, they are important. She asked this young man that called, she said, who are you? And he said, I'm the church bus driver that drives the church bus at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Now bear in mind, this young lady, nurse, Laredo, Texas, that's 1600 miles from here. She said, you mean you're still running buses at First Baptist Church? She knew about us. Says, yes. And the nurse broke down and began to cry. And she said, I guess Brother Hiles is still going then, isn't he? 1,500 miles away. Yeah, Brother Hiles is still going. Next time we call, Brother Hiles will still be going. Brother Hiles is still going. But really, I'll tell you who it is going. It's a little country, little ghetto-bound boy whose daddy was a neighborhood drunk. That's the one God met the first time. That's what I was when God met me. I'd rather die than for God to look down and say, I don't know you anymore. I don't know you anymore. Just because you got some cloth around you that costs more than the cloth I got around me doesn't make you anything. Just because your shoes are made out of snake rather than cow doesn't make you anything. Your feet stink just like mine do. You know what God needs? God needs an America he used to know. God needs these formal worship services on this morning. All this pomp and ceremony where a bunch of people come who look down on the poor and won't welcome the poor. But the bus kids aren't welcome and they don't want to mess the church up. God needs those people to get on their faces, put on sackcloth, and get in ashes and say, God, we repent! We repent! And God says, hey, that's the one I used to know. That's the America I used to know. That's the church I used to know. God looks down today and sees our Baptist churches and says, I don't know you anymore. He looks down and sees the Methodist churches and sees how different they are from John Wesley who founded them. And he says, I don't know you anymore. God looks down and compares the Presbyterians of the old John Knox variety to Presbyterians today. And God says, I don't know you anymore. God looks down and sees the Nazarenes of the old Uncle Bud Robinson days and compares that to the Nazarenes today. And God says, I don't know you anymore. I don't know you anymore. And God looks down and sees those beautiful homes in Israel. He remembers those tents they lived in the wilderness. He looks down and sees the beautiful crops in Israel and remembers back yonder when all they had was manna that he sent every day from heaven. He looks down and sees the wells that they have now and the irrigation system. And God remembers the day when the only water they had was from the smitten rock because he opened the rock and gave them water for 40 years. God looks down and sees their wardrobes and their closets filled with clothing. And God remembers the day when they had the same dress or the same pair, the same suit or same trousers, pants, and wore them for 40 years. And God said, I remember those days when you got up in the morning and I got to fix your breakfast every morning. And I remember those days when I got to keep you clothed. I remember those days when I got to give you water. But you don't need me anymore. I don't know you. I don't know you anymore. I used to know you in the wilderness. I don't know you anymore.
I don't know what's wrong with people. I don't know why it is. A person can learn to play the piano. Now, all it is a box with little doojiggers on them, some black and some white. And just because you know which ones to punch, all of a sudden you're a big shot. Or somebody takes ballet. And they're cultured. I think they're spastic. And they're better than somebody else because they can stand on their toe. That's really accomplishment. Stand on the tip of your toe. That's a real accomplishment. You listen to me. The only real accomplishment you will ever make in your life is that moment when you realize that you're nobody. And you look up at the face of Jesus Christ on the cross. As the choir sang a while ago, you turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth become strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I deserve to go to hell. If I got what I ought to have, I'd burn in hell forever. Oh, Jesus, I trust You as my Savior. That's the only worthwhile thing you'll ever do in this life. Talking to people this morning who drifted away from God. God says, I don't know you anymore. I knew you when you were the custodian. I don't know you now that you own the place. I knew you when you swept the place out. I don't know you now that you're the president. I knew you in that little country church, but I don't know you in your big city church. I used to know you. I go back to that bus station for the Hiles. It's the happiest day of my life. I've worked for 20 long years to steel mill to see this moment. My boy is going away to a college I could not attend when I was young. He's going to have privileges I never had. And I can see him again in my office with his head on my desk. I don't know my boy anymore. You listen to me. That son that went off to college would have been better off if he had gone out to the steel mill and gotten himself a job like his dad did and worked with his hands and had the character his old dad has and had the Christianity and the virtue his old dad had. Be better off if he'd never seen the inside of a college. God looks down today to you and says, I don't know you anymore. There was a day when you prayed. There was a day when you needed me. There was a day when you depended on me. But you don't think you need me anymore. You don't think you have all the food you could eat in the nicest restaurants, drive air-conditioned cars with every kind of little gadget in the world on them. God said, I wish you were back in the wilderness. I don't know you anymore. I want to know you like I used to know you. I wonder who this morning is saying right now, I've gotten away from God. I don't depend on Him like I used to. I'll have to admit it. Something's happened to me. I'm not as close to Him as I once was. I somehow don't think I need Him like I used to think I needed Him. I'm going to say this, if you've never trusted Him, the only thing you'll ever do to mount anything in life is get ready to meet Him. Right where you are, you ought to come down off your high horse. Smash your pride against the pavement of God's grace. And tell God, I'm a sinner. I've been preaching for 42 years. I've preached to the biggest crowds, I guess, of any pastor in the history of America. I've preached in almost every coliseum of any size across this nation. But I want to be able to look up at my God and say, dear God, down inside this 62-year-old body,
they're still that little fella. He and his wife had to share a kitchen with 9 other people and a bath, 2 bathrooms with 9 other couples. They're still the fella that had to drive with the lights out because the generator wouldn't keep the car going at night. They're still the fella that had to mow the yards of his members for $1 a yard so he could make ends meet. I want God to look down and say, I still know you. With this, I'm through. The president of the college where I attended, I was roommates with Abraham Lincoln, Jefferson Davis. Mainly Jefferson Davis. But anyway, I knew Ulysses Grant, but I didn't. But anyway, Ulysses S. Grant, I'm sorry. But I got a surprise call one day from the president of the college I attended. I was really shocked. He said, Dr. Brother Hiles, I'd like to have lunch with you. I went to Dallas, met him at the Baker Hotel. We had lunch together. He said, Brother Hiles, he said, you and Tim Trammell are the 2 outstanding students that our college has ever turned out. He said, our college just had no opportunity to have well-known preachers. He said, you far and away got the biggest church of any graduate of our college. He said, your college would like to honor you for a week. We'd like to give you a doctor's degree. We'd like you to speak on chapel every week and call it Jack Hiles Week and honor you for a whole week. I couldn't believe what I heard. And I said, Dr. Bruce, I said, what's the deal? I meant, what's the catch? He said, there is one. He said, you can keep on preaching against sin, but he said, there are a few sins you can't call by name because our college would get a bad reputation if you did. I said, Dr. Bruce, I don't know about you, but I'm through with my meal. I said, hey, finished. I got up, put my napkin down beside my plate. I said, Dr. Bruce, you have to understand, I never have been for sale to anybody. He looked at me and he said, same old Jack. And one of the highest honors of my life was the day that little deacon from East Texas came to visit us for a Sunday. Up in his 80s now. When he got off the airplane, his tie and his socks had never met each other. Typical East Texas farmer. From that little church I mentioned a while ago, 7 or 8 people. He and his wife and 2 children rode a tractor to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night. Always wore overalls, striped bib overalls, and led the singing that way. He's on a deacon ahead then. He came up here, spent several days, went out to college and saw the hundreds, 2,000 or 3,000 students out there. 100 acres, beautiful campus. His mouth just stood open all while he watched all of you. Went to Baptist City and saw the high school, grade school, junior high school, and all the hundreds of kids. That nice 28-acre campus there, and his mouth never shut. Came to church here that Sunday. We had over 20,000 in Sunday school. Hundreds of people were saved, and probably a couple of 300 maybe baptized. Came time for him to leave that night. He came to my office, and he said, Brother Jack, can I talk to you just for a minute before I leave? I said, sure would. Wood Armstrong was his name. I said, what is it? He came inside the office. I won't take long, Brother Jack. Just want to tell you what I think about your church. This giant auditorium packed that day. My mind wandered back to that little wood stove. This is Charlie Smith. Said 8, 9, 10 people. Paid me in cash every week, $7.50. So I went, got in the car. Wandered back to driving home at night with the lights off. Wandered back to people bringing me turnip greens and putting them in the car at night, eggs and butter and milk. And I thought Wood Armstrong was going to criticize. I just want to tell you what I think about your church. I thought he's going to criticize. He's going to say, I don't like the choir. They're singing key. Well, I don't like the piano. It was tuned. Tears began to trickle down his old sun-tanned face. Up in his 80s, and with his East Texas accent, as uneducated as they come, he looked at me and said, "Brother Jack, same old stuff, just a heap more of it." And I cried into the night, "I want God to know me. I don't want him to look down and say, 'I knew you in college.' I don't know you now. I knew you in seminary. I don't know you now. I knew you when you couldn't make it ends meet. I don't know you now. I want God to say, 'Jack, down inside that 62-year-old body, there's still a little ghetto-bound boy, Jackie boy, who worships his God, our Heavenly Father.'"